Well, today was one of those days when we have many things that we could possibly be celebrating. It is the Battle of Atlantic Sunday, and there is a ceremony happening today up the street. And so we think of those people who gave their lives for us, for our freedom. Today is also the third Sunday of Easter, which is what we normally would celebrate on this day. And you've all heard of an unbirthday, haven't you? Like, my stepdaughters were both born on the same day, 3 years apart. So they would have a joint birthday party, and then they would each have an unbirthday party. Not on the day of their birthday, but one where they could celebrate. Today is the unbirthday, so to speak, the unfeast day of St. John the Evangelist. Who knows when St. John the Evangelist is actually supposed to be celebrated? It's a test. Bill! December 27th. What a sucky day. None of you are here, and I'm rarely here either on December 27th, and so there's an option to transfer it to tomorrow. And since we're not here tomorrow either, we're celebrating our saint today, St. John the Evangelist. So who was he, actually? Well, he's traditionally associated with John, with one of the sons of Zebedee. He is one of the sons of Zebedee who left their nets and followed Jesus. And he became part of that inner group who were at the heart of all the events of Jesus' life. And we know from the Gospels that John was known to be Jesus' companion, his friend, his bestie, as the kids would say today. And they hung out a lot together, and they were close. And he was the one disciple of the male disciples who did not forsake Jesus at the cross, but was there with him. And he was the one that Jesus said, "This is now, Mary is your mother, and you are Mary's son." So they were very close. And he, or at least some of the other folks associated with him, wrote the Gospel of John, which is very different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's more thematic and filled with imagery. And he gives us a lot that emphasizes our faith on the Word of God made, given for us. And he has all those sayings, you know, "I am the resurrection, the life, I am, I am, I am." And there are three letters in the early church that bear his name, John 1, 2, and 3. And they were written from Ephesus, as the story goes. And he preached about love. That was John's big thing, about love, all the time. And he died when he was almost 100 years old. Now, St. Jerome tells the story that when age and weakness caught up with him, he was no longer able to preach to the disciples and to the people. And they would still carry him to the assembly of the people. And with great difficulty, he would still say to this flock that were gathered only a few words, "My dear children, love one another." In his extreme old age, he continued every time he could to visit the churches of Asia. Now, John, and all of you people who are associated with St. John the Evangelist, is a patron of many things. The good news for us is he's the patron against poison. It's quite a way to start, isn't it? He's also the patron of art dealers, authors, bookbinders, booksellers, burns, compositors, editors, engravers, friendships, lithographers, painters, paper makers, printers, publishers, tanners, theologians, typesetters, and writers. And he is also symbolized mostly by the eagle. And if you haven't seen our St. John's banner up in the chapel, there's a beautiful eagle there. And today, in John's Gospel, guess who recognizes Jesus? John. Everyone else is doing something else. I could not help but laugh, and I completely lost it at the 8 o'clock service when I had to read about Simon Peter putting on some clothes because he was naked, and then he jumped into the lake. It's always the way with Peter. He's always going to do something rash. I don't know why you just leave the clothes off, but I guess if you're going to see Jesus, you're supposed to be dressed. I don't know. But John is the one who stays in the boat, and John is the one who says, "It is the Lord." And later on it says, now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" And then there's this lovely little line, because they knew it was the Lord. I don't think so. I think John is the only one who actually recognized him. And that may be why Peter got all the questions. Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Peter, of course, needed 3 times, apparently, to learn almost anything. He betrayed Jesus 3 times, and now he had to affirm his love 3 times. Now, as you can imagine, in a small group of people, like in a small family or a small group that hang out together, like 12 disciples and Jesus, there probably was a bit of competition. And can you imagine the competition between these two, the one whom Jesus loved and rash and headstrong Peter? There's another place in the gospel where it says that Peter actually says to Jesus, after Jesus tells him that he's going to be a martyr, he says, well, what about him? What about John? And Jesus actually says, how does that concern you? Follow me. So they had very different endings to their lives. Peter was crucified, and John suffered in a different way, in a longer life, but he was exiled for a time, and he grew into old age. They also had different callings in life, but they had the same general sense to follow Jesus. And that's what we're called to do too. It doesn't matter who we are, what we do in our lives, whether we're an engineer, a housewife, a secretary, a soldier. It doesn't matter where you go. The words of Jesus follow us, saying, follow me. We tend to spend a lot of time, like Peter did, looking at others and thinking, what about them? We can never know, though, what someone else carries, what is in their life. We can never truly know, even the people we love the best. We don't know what burdens they carry, what wounds they've suffered, what fears they hold, or what even brings them the deepest of joy, or what they really live for. But we do spend a lot of time second-guessing or doubting or ignoring ourselves and our call, especially in comparison to others. And we do it as a church, too. Well, that church is doing better. Well, what about them? How come they don't have to do the things we do, like build a wall? But today's good news is simultaneously consoling and challenging. It reminds us that even when we're faced with our own shortcomings and we suspect that we are disqualified or unqualified or incapable of contributing something to the movement of the gospel, we are reminded that we are needed. Because what we do often is we drift back, don't we, to our old lives. Just think about those disciples. They spent all these years with Jesus, traveling, promoting his message, being with him as he died and through his resurrection. And what are they doing? They're fishing. They went back to what they did before. They're all together, and they're fishing. They're not proclaiming the gospel. They're not moving out into the countryside and getting new disciples. They've gone back. And we're like that too sometimes. When we sense the power of new life and the risen promises of Jesus, and we think we can even make a helpful contribution, well, we get afraid sometimes and doubtful. And we go back to just being the closed-off person. We go back to doing what we're used to and what we know and what we think we're best at doing. See, being a disciple is one thing. But actually following along beside Jesus and continuing the journey is another whole thing. Being an apostle means being sent forth into the unknown. So drawing back is natural, and we retreat to our own Galilees or our own fishing boats or our own gang of people that we hang out with. We return to what we know, and we let down and pull up old and empty nets. But Jesus, in those moments, comes alongside of us, walks across water perhaps, appears in places we least expect it, to challenge us and to console us, to say, I still believe in you. Even if you don't believe in yourself, I believe in you. I know your shortcomings, and I still think that you can go out there and proclaim the good news to the people that you meet. That's what he does. He confronts them in their boat, in their emptiness, their empty nets. He says, why don't you try something different? Put the net down on the other side. And then they catch all these fish. I love how in the Gospel of John, he's very ethereal. You know, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and they caught 153 fish all at the same time. Very precise and very ethereal. But our lives are like that, too. We live in its precision, and yet there's so much else going on. And Jesus says to them today, put your love into action. Even if you think it's not the best thing you could ever do, or you're not even sure what to do, live it. Because you, every one of us, is made in the image of God. And we are made to live that life of love in action. Jesus is asking the disciples and us to stop dwelling on what we did or didn't do, or what we can or cannot do, in the past or in the future, to stop focusing on our limits and focus on our love, to stop worrying about whether we're naked or clothed or capable or incapable, and just jump, just love. Jesus asks three times, do you love me? And Peter assures him, of course I love you, you know that. Why did Jesus have to ask him three times? I suspect because as easy as it was for Peter to say, you know that I love you, he didn't believe it because he wasn't living it. He was back in the boat where he was safe. And so Jesus is reminding him, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, share what you've learned over the past number of years. Be me in the world. You see, it's actually that simple, to step up and get to work. Jesus is saying, I've sent you, and I know who I'm sending, and I believe in you. Now go. Peter and John and all the other disciples had their limits, of course. But if our love is genuine, if what we believe is genuine, it has to become love in action. So today, when we celebrate St. John the Evangelist, pretend that you have those eagle wings. Pretend that you can fly out the doors this morning and live a life of love and action. And show the signs of what John gives us in his gospel to the world. Draw people's attentions to God, their hearts, their minds, their thoughts. And I know you're Anglicans, and evangelism's hard, but I know that you know how to love. That's all we have to do. The signs and the wonders of our love is what counts. We don't have to attribute it to anything, but live it. At the end of one of the Gospels, John ends this way, but there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. May your love in action be not contained in any books. May it be bigger than anything you can imagine or I can imagine. Let us show that love in action this day and every day. Amen.